and welcome to the A-League's Fantasy Show, where each week we'll bring you all the latest news and tips in the world of both the men's and the women's A-League's fantasy competition. My name is Campbell Johnson, and I'm thrilled to be joined by two of the A-League's finest around, Lachie Flanagan and Pakua Frimpong. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Cam. It's good to be on. I've got an Ange Postecoglou shirt on for this recording underneath my many coats here in freezing Melbourne. Hopefully that brings me some, the good luck sort of rubs off. I'm not totally convinced, but excited to get stuck in.
Cue the Robbie Williams. Love it. Pakua, yeah. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me on, Campbell. I've heard the pod from last week. I'm here to correct the mistakes that were made, and I'm excited to be on this week.
Look, as the lone survivor from the last episode, I'm happy to be taking the collective blame, and I'll get ready to take those shots towards me. Guys, how'd you do in your personal rounds of the Liberty A-League this week in your fantasy? It was the second week. Pakua, we'll start with you. How'd you go?
I was sensational, Campbell. I'm not going to lie. I was soaring high. The competition couldn't catch me, and I was it was a solid 103 points. I feel good sitting top of my league. I'm feeling good.
Yeah, not quite as impressive as Pakua. A couple of good picks took a bit of inspiration from you boys last week. Vesna Milivojevic was in, captain was on her. She went big guns in her first week in my beloved club, just around the triple digit mark this week. So not bad, but not quite as good as Pakua.
Look, I made the risky move of going for a triple change after week one, the impulsive move.
Wow.
I know. But I did bring in Rihanna and Polishina, and what a time to do so. 27 points, top performer, Hannah Keane out. I mean, couldn't have been too much better. And I'll be looking to get Vesna in this week. We did make a few changes to our team last week, and we had a few tips last week, and we'll listen to those now.
So then, gents, Campbell, will come to you first. Matt, the banker, you can confirm this. Buy, sell, hold. We want to get Vesna Milivojevic in the team. How are we doing it?
We're getting rid of Chloe Lincoln, surely. Getting in Lissy Ann Prue, I would think, and get Grace Ma out for Vesna Milivojevic. Does that free up enough cash?
You guys, we have Lincoln and Ma out, Prue and Milivojevic in, and we have 55K left in the bank. So let's press complete on that. And you know what? We will wait until next week. I don't know what the combination of hosts will be on this show, but we'll wait. Maybe they'll play the sound grab of us putting those trades in and Ma scores a hat trick. Who knows? But
That will ruin me, Matty.
Yeah, but, you know, we have to live by the sword and die by the sword. I don't think I've ever seen a team with about 10 different managers throughout the season, but we're going to see it play out this year, and there's going to be fireworks, I'm sure.
Well, it wasn't quite the hat trick from Grace Ma that Nostradamus Matt Comito, who was on the pod last week, predicted, but it was an interesting double trade, a bit of a mixed bag. I mean, the first thing I think off the top is Vesna Milivojevic, massive, massive tick to anyone who followed suit with the pod and brought her in, because even in a loss, she was tremendous, and a score of 15 points is nothing to sniff at.
I'll be honest with you, Campbell. I deviated from the advice you guys gave on the pod last week, and I stuck true to Chloe Lincoln, and she repaid me. She got me a solid 9 points. My big thing, the reason about getting her was I thought she was going to do a lot of saves. She may concede a few, but I thought the save numbers would always be there, and she proved strong on the weekend.
Well, she came through with, I think, 9 points in the end. So I guess this is the best way to judge the previous podcast crew's double trade, I suppose. Like, how much did the trade out players did? What was their cumulative score versus what was the players who came in? What did they get? And I tell you, I just ran the numbers then. Vesna Milivojevic, as she did for my fantasy team this week, did a lot of heavy lifting. It was 18 points brought in, 17 points lost. Chloe Lincoln came through pretty big with 9. She made a lot of saves. But Cam, by the thinnest possible margin, the previous week's team get a pass mark, I think.
Look, I've just dodged a bullet there in a massive way. And yeah, Chloe Lincoln, 9 points. I mean, a massive performance from her. And I don't think you can really go wrong with either one of them. Lissy Ann Prue, I believe, is a little bit cheaper. She'll probably keep a few more clean sheets, obviously, throughout the season. And, you know, who knows? But there are some changes that we can potentially make. Obviously, no Liberty A-League games this weekend. But guys, for next weekend in the Liberty A-League, Pakua, who have you got your eye on to potentially bring in?
Well, a player I had sitting on my bench, and I feel a little bit dumb for it, was Chelsea Blissett. She was sensational on the weekend, and she was good in the first game as well. And that's the reason I had her on the bench. I've had to make the unfortunate substitution with her and Jessica Nash, but Chelsea Blissett, she's on hot form right now.
Pakua, don't get me started on Brisbane Roar defenders being on my bench. I had Jenna McCormick on my bench in week one, and then I thought, all right, I have to put her in the starting lineup after getting a good score. Guess who's on my bench this week? Chelsea Blissett on the bench again, getting points. So I've left about 50 points on the bench over the last 2 weeks. Lockie, who have you got your eye on?
Well, quite seriously, is there a worse feeling as a fantasy manager than the what could have been of a player who comes through big on the bench? It doesn't matter how well you score after that point. It's like, well, it could have been better. I'm actually this week looking a little bit less at who I want to bring in and actually more about maybe who we should consider trading out, purely because one of the big differences in round three, obviously we're going to have price changes, but also the big one for those who don't know is that Sydney FC are going to be playing Asian football in the sort of Women's Asian Champions League. They've got a couple of group games coming up, which means they will not be available. So some of your premium picks, you know, your Kirsty Fentons, your Courtney Vines, most importantly, are not available for next week. So I think you're really left with a tough decision as to what you do with those players. It will only be for 1 week and they will recoup those points later. But yeah, you're leaving points on the table. And just looking at the assistant coach features that we've got, you know, the sort of behind the scenes look, Courtney Vine, after a slow start, her break even, which is the amount that she needs to score to not lose any value, is sitting at 29. So if you've got her, she's immediately sticking out as someone you maybe, I know she's a national hero, but maybe you want to handball off early. But if you don't have her, you could be able to bring in potentially, when she does play that third game and the price changes kick in, a solid option for a cut price.
And it will be a double game week for her as well down the line. One to note with that as well. I believe Central Coast Mariners are also with the bye. We don't have any of those players in the squad at the moment, but if you do have, I don't know, a Rola Badawiya or one of the other Central Coast Mariners players, perhaps bringing them out for this week. And that's a great one to bring up, Lockie. Plenty of movements happening, and you got to keep your eye on that, especially with price changes happening. Guys, I brought in a big player this week for Hannah Keane. Made a big difference for me, but I want to know who your guys' top performer of the week was for the Liberty A-League. Pakua, we're going to start with you. Who is your top performer? They don't have to be in your team. They don't need to be in our team. Just across the league, who was the cherry on top?
Cherry on top, I think maybe I have to go with Brianna Polisina just because she had such a great game for Melbourne City during the week. But a player just a little under the radar, Elliot from Wellington Phoenix. I saw her in week one. I thought she showed a little bit of promise against Melbourne City, and then she scored on the weekend as well. So those are two players attacking options wise that I'm looking at, and they were some of the big performance for me.
Well, speaking of leaving points on the bench and promising Wellington youngsters, I don't even want to describe the look on my face when Macy Fraser scores her first A-League women's goal, puts in an absolute masterclass, only for me to realize that I've left 18 points sitting on my bench, which would have made her, I think, the second top scorer in my entire team. Absolute nightmare. But another player who did score 18 points in this particular match week, and she's clearly a top performer for a lot of fantasy managers at the moment because a lot of moving to bring her in, is Susan Fonsonkamp. Back-to-back goals now, and both really impressive strikes at that. The winner against the Newcastle Jets, and she's scored 18 points on the weekend and is sitting at just 165,000 as a price point in fantasy. Her break even, negative 21. So she's guaranteed to make money in that third game week. It's just a matter of how much. So she's got to be the top performer. And I think even if she doesn't have her best game in round three, if you're not strongly considering bringing her in, you're missing out on not only the potential for a lot of points, but the potential for a lot of value in terms of the money she's going to earn.
Those are some fantastic, fantastic shouts. And I was calling that game for the Wellington Phoenix on the weekend, and geez, Macy Fraser was incredible all game long. Could have scored two from long range, and eventually did get one in the end in that second half, and was just damaging all day long. A great pickup at a cheap price as well, and looks like she'll be playing every week for them. Susan Fonsong, Cam, you guys are taking them right away from me when I'm about to suggest. I'd highly suggest all of those players. And another one would be Chelsea Blissett. I mean, very cheap defender. If you even just have her on the bench, she's going to start every game for the Brisbane Roar. And she was getting in some really advanced positions as well. So you can't really go wrong with her back in Queensland. It's fantastic to see. Lockie, how is our league looking? We've got over 40 members in our content or in our podcast league. How are the standings there and overall across Liberty A-League Fantasy?
Well, I'll start off with the league where the podcast team is in a reasonable position. We're in the top 10 of our league, which I think in women's has, I think, 40 in total. So we're in a solid spot. We are some ways behind the top performer in the Fantasy Show League, whose team name I unfortunately can't repeat. But Chan is having a very, very solid start to his fantasy season so far. 228 points scored in total, so 114 average across both games, 48 ranked overall. So we've got some pretty solid competitors in our league, although the upper echelons at the very top of A-League Women's Fantasy at the moment is Boca, who are managed by Alex. Congratulations to you, Alex. A total point score of 272, which is 11 more than the next nearest. So Alex is streets ahead in women's fantasy inside the opening two rounds. Maybe we need to get him on the pod.
I reckon we might have to. They've got some good players in there as well. Vesna Milivojevic. Who else have they got? Jenna McCormick, Emma Checker. Plenty of points there. Morgan Aquino, who's one of those sneaky ones. He's been very good in the past 2 weeks. Pakua?
Campbell, I've got to be honest with you guys. I'm here to save you. I'm here to get the answers right because I was ranked number one in Victoria for a large portion of last season's A-League Women's Fantasy competition. I've got the answers. Don't worry about that.
We've got the expert right here, Lockie. No need. Put the phone down on Boca. We've got Pakua Frimpong. That's all we need.
I've got it, guys. I've got it sorted.
To be fair, I'll tell you one person who will be very happy with the top-ranked manager in women's fantasy at the moment, Boca, is James Dodd, because he was singing the praises of Rihanna Polisina last week, holding firm after what was an underwhelming opening round. But Polisina was the star for the best fantasy manager in A-League Women at the moment with 27.
And look, Dotty may have called me Cameron, even though I've been working with him for over a year, but I did take his advice. I did bring in Rihanna Polisina, and wow, she did very well for me. A great change for Hannah Keane as well. Let's move on to the Isuzu Ute A-League opening round and what a round it was. How'd we do overall in our own team's performance? Pakua, how'd you go? You were saying you were a bit late to the party.
I was a bit late. This one, you can't truly rely on me. I've disappointed myself. I was a bit late to the party. My team has missed out on getting some points, but I've set my team up well for next week, and I can give some tips on that.
Yeah, my score was a little bit disappointed. I felt like I'd every fantasy manager, I think, goes into a new season with some level of delusion, and I think mine was definitely up there. I was looking at the team and almost second guessing myself. I'm like, I just can't pick an obvious flaw. But the big letdown for me this week, Callum Talbot, who I think was one of the most selected, if not the most selected players in Isuzu Ute A-League Fantasy, scoring a negative two. So I ended up with about, I think, 81 in the end, which was really a middle of the road score. But shout out to Torgai Arslan and Jamie McLaren for coming in with big scores. But yeah, there's so many exciting and I think undervalued players in Isuzu Ute A-League Fantasy this year that you can think you've got a team of gems, and there's no guarantees whatsoever.
It's impossible sometimes. I mean, that's the best part of fantasy, is that opening week, the week before, everyone in the office going, who should I bring in? Antonsen? Should I bring in Lockie Brook? Who should I bring in? And it came up big for me in the first week. I'll be honest, 116 is what I scored. I did leave some points on the bench, though. Alex Paulson was on the bench for me, which is such a shame with 16 points. I did have Tom Hewitt-Bell in, though, so 9 points from your keeper. You can't really complain about that. And I did have Callum Talbot in there, too, which really did hurt me a little bit. But my midfield, I was umming and ahhing about that for a long time. But I did have Jay O'Shea, Togai Arslan, Uli Davia, and Lockie Wales. And the Lockie Wales one was the big one for me. I thought I'd bring him in late. He'll be playing in an advanced role. And boy, did he show up for me with 18 points. J-Mac, Joe Lolly, and Angel Torres up top. Speaking of Joe Lolly, there was a big discussion about him last week. And we'll give you a listen of that right now.
I cannot believe off the back of that Australia Cup that Joe Lolly is not in the top 10. That is insane.
It's an interesting one because he's not in the top 10 for ownership, but he is the fourth most popular captain. So if you've got him, you're captaining him at the moment, it looks like. But anyway.
Look, Doddy, it was a great suggestion. Completely agree. People were disrespecting Joe Lolly. That is absolutely right. He's expensive, but he came through with a pretty solid round one score, albeit in a loss. There was just one problem. Week one, guys, you spent all this time talking about you need to pick Joe Lolly, get him in. This is a top priority. We didn't pick him in our team. What happened, Cam? Where did it all go wrong?
Look, that one's just through to the keeper. Plain and simply, I'll take the heat for that one. I honestly don't know what happened because we were all going, yeah, we definitely need him in our team. We definitely need him in our team. I guarantee you Doddy has him in his team. I have him in my team. Maddie might have him in his team. But then we've let our own team down and not put him in our podcast team.
Take the bull by the horns, actually make this happen.
The team wasn't rowing in the same direction, Campbell.
I said on the podcast, too many cooks in the kitchen spoils the broth. And that's exactly what we've done in week one. Lockie, what was our overall score in the opening week?
It was 102. 102 in this week's round of Isuzu Ute A-League Fantasy. So I think that's a pretty good score. There was one big problem, though, with the team. We had the introduction of Jay O'Shea was a big one because that's a big difference between my personal team and the league fantasy team. I went for Pena, who was good but didn't necessarily reflect it in his points. The fantasy pod team stuck with Jay O'Shea. Great call. Expensive, but 22 points. You can't complain with that. But there was one big problem. And I think, Cam, last week, we've obviously Matt Comito runs the A-League's Western Australia Euro. He's our sole representative. And, you know, so sometimes we don't put the respect on Matt's name because he is a very shrewd fantasy operator. But I think you let him get in your head.
Look, I don't disagree. He was guilt tripping us into going, what about a Perth representative? Guys, we've had a miss here. Selim Khalifi did not play on the weekend. He's not going to play this weekend. Surely, Pakua, he's got to be a change.
He's certainly got to go. I think this is why you can't give Matt Comito too much room to play around with this squad. We're trying to win here, and he's holding us back. So I think Khalifi is the obvious out that we've got to do. And I think he'll free up a lot of money because I think that's the problem we've got at the moment. Only got $64,700 left in the bank. We need to find somewhere else, a good, cheap option there in the midfield.
All right, guys, who are we going to say? Dictator Comito isn't on the show this week. We can get rid of Selim Khalifi. Lockie, is there anyone you're eyeing up? It's around 370K budget. Obviously, we can shift some things around, but I think it could almost be a straight swap.
If you look at pure point scoring, Costa Grossos is the top option, having nailed 23 out of midfield. I probably wouldn't be pulling the trigger on him just yet. I think the interesting one, I don't know if I'm brave enough to bring him into our team in round two, but I think Zach Clough is a really interesting one. I think I was very impressed by what I saw of him in preseason. He had a very solid game in the opening round against the Mariners, and he's going to take penalties. He's always been one of those players in his time in the league where if he's fit, he's always very good. The problem or the question has just been, if he's fit, I reckon he's a good shout. And looking at the other sort of top performers from last week in and around that price range, I tell you what, Cam, I wasn't convinced about Lachie Wales, but now that I'm thinking about it, maybe he's not the worst shout. I mean, I know we've got more money to play with. We don't have to downgrade, but it would leave us with a lot of cash, and Wales is going to play consistently, play in advanced positions. The other one I'm throwing into the rotation for us to debate after his stunning, bit part football, bit part rugby performance and goal in the Big Blue is Zinedine Mishash, who scored 18 points.
Zizou. So
a very solid return for Zizou. He's only 239. So you guys, let's be honest, messed up with the Khalifi pick for round one. He's not coming through in round two, but I think we've got a few good options here and quite a few good opportunities to actually get a bit more money in the bank for this team. Are we going to pick from that trio potentially?
The Lachie Wales one is very tempting to me. I maybe it's a Melbourne strong situation. I want to go against Comito with his Perth strong, but I'm with Lachie. I think I would be brave and go with Lachie Wales just to free up some more money just for the rest of the thing. Because you've got to think about later on in the season, you've got to have options available. And 64, you can't buy a player with that much money.
See, the problem with this is now, though, I feel like, you know, the president holding his finger over the button, because it's very easy to sling accusations around when Khalifi gets picked in the team when you're not on. But when you're actually the person who has to click the button on the trade and bring in Lachie Wales, which I am doing as we speak, I feel very nervous about this. I think I have to be on the podcast next week. This could backfire.
You are. This is the hard part. I feel like it's easier in round one when you've got unlimited trades. It doesn't matter. We've got limited trades now. We can't just go willy-nilly throwing trades left, right, and center. We can't do double trades all the time, because you're right. We could go, like, we have to bring out Khalifi. Who we bring him in for is the option. I agree we should probably spare up some budget. But, Lachie, you bring up a really good point for fantasy owners of, with Craig Goodwin now gone, Zach Clough's taken penalties for Adelaide. Mm. And that's a big thing. That's probably another, I don't know, 20, 30 points maybe across the year.
Yeah, and the other thing you want to think about too is, like, who we know that there are really good players in the league who are going to score and score consistently. Your Jamie McLaren, so you just know every week are going to give you a pretty solid return. But you want to find not only those players who can give you value, but also who are the players that others aren't thinking about. And the interesting thing about Clough is that he's only, I think, in 3.6% of teams right now. So if you do bring someone like him in and he does score well, you're going to be getting access to points that, you know, other managers, well, 97% of them, if the maths are to be proven, you know, aren't going to get access to. So I think it's a toss-up between Wales and Clough at this moment in time.
I don't mind Wales purely because he will be playing in a more advanced position than other midfielders as well. That's something I always take into consideration is, are they actually playing as a winger? Are they playing as a forward and using that to our advantage, because we're going to get more points that way. And it's similar with defenders. It's why we've got Docker in the team. We'll be playing further forward. Are we going to go Wales? Are we pulling the trigger on that? Are we all happy?
Yeah.
Trigger Wales. Do we want to bring anyone in up front, or do we want to leave it as it? Let's not make too many changes. Do we want to leave that opportunity and that option? Give Gomez the benefit of the doubt.
I'm solid. I think the attack is a great. I think the attack set wise, Jamie McLaren will score enough goals that if the other two aren't performing, we should be okay. The only other area on the park that I'm looking at is I'm looking at our bench for our defense. And Hooker for MacArthur, we could swap him for a cheaper option and also free up some more money. If he's going to sit on our bench, 200,000 is a lot of money to be, you know, sitting with one player there.
And there's plenty of options at that 150, 160 kind of price range who are going to play. Nathan Paul from Central Coast Mariners, I think I mentioned him last week. He did okay this week. I did have him on the bench. But what do we think? Do we want to free up that budget for future, or do we want to leave that as an option for when someone wants to make a change to go, yeah, we need an extra 50K. Let's go with that. Or do we want to pull the trigger?
See, I don't want to be the person If we bring in Nathan Paul, you get rid of Uyitsa, that leaves us with 439,000 to play with.
That's so much money.
It's a lot of it's a lot of money, but you also don't want to be the person who blows the budget for a player who scores like 4 points or something.
Guys, can I play devil's advocate here? Can we right a wrong of the past? Change a Sydney player for a Sydney player. Joe Lolly up top.
Can we?
We thought that
happen.
We could do three trades if we wanted to.
I don't think
we'd have the money for it.
I don't think. I'm sorry. I'm putting my foot down. I don't think.
All right. I'm trigger happy.
We'll be hounded out. One argument I'd make is maybe Daniel Pena at this price point, I think, is available.
But is he going to go down in price in a few weeks? That is the question.
I think for the interest of safety and us not getting sacked by the time of next podcast recording, let's just go with Lachie Wales.
Job security. I like where your head's at.
At the very least, we know that we have to get rid of Khalifi and we know that Wales will play. So getting rid of Khalifi for anyone, I think at this point is a defensible choice. So let's just lock in
Lachie. I like it. Yep. Signed, sealed, delivered. Lachie Wales, you're in the squad. He scored, I believe, 18 points last week, and now he's a strong addition. Hopefully, we can climb the ranks of our own fantasy league. Remember, you can join. All the details are in the show notes as well. Lockie, you're squirming in your chair.
I just hit confirm trade. I feel sick.
Well, you've got the power of the whole team. Guys, Lockie, who are the most traded players in this week? Who are people bringing into their teams?
Well, I guess the good thing for us is that as much as we denied about it, we are sort of going with the grain. Lachie Wales is the fifth most traded in player this week. 3.5% of fantasy managers have brought him in. The rest of the top five are Tate Russell, actually, who played his first game, I think, in over 500 days for the Wanderers, was back in. That's actually a really interesting one at $165,000. Definitely a player to watch out for. Jason Guerrier came in at third. Nick Ansell, who was... I don't think anyone had him on their bingo card for the top scorer in the opening round, but he was second. 12.6% of managers have brought him in, which is crazy. And then top is Zizou, 323 trades into the squad. The top five outs, as you can probably guess, one of the most popular players in Callum Talbot. He's out, followed by Ulysses Davila, Selim Khalifi. So again, we're sticking to the trends. Fabio Gomez and Mikhail Docker from the Mariners rounds out.
I will say, I think everybody's been a little bit too reactive with the Gomez out for Sydney FC, because I think he's got something there and I feel like some goals are coming. He had some opportunities in the first game. So everybody listening, I would just pause a little bit. Don't have to be too reactive with your trade outs.
All right, guys, we are running out of time. So I want a quick fire. Your top performer of the week. If you were going to bring someone in, if you're looking at someone, if they're in your team, Pakua, who is your top performer?
I'm going to be strange about this, but Paulson from Wellington as a goalkeeper. Nice. We've got him on the bench. I thought he had a sensational game, and the points, 16 points, showed that as well. So if you've got, you're thinking about maybe need a goalkeeper swap, maybe he would be. And his centre back in front of him, Watton, I believe is how you say his last name. I think he would be a good addition. Those clean sheet bonuses go a long way.
Jorge Arslan. I've got him in my personal team. We have him in our podcast team. If you didn't get him in round one after his 19-point score, if you didn't see his debut against Western United, this is your chance to atone for your sin. Get him in. Get him in now.
I'm going to go another import. Zizou, bring him in. Why not? Yeah. He's pretty cheap on the price point. Scored a great goal. You can't go wrong. You cannot go wrong. Lockie, give us a quick rundown of the leaders in our fantasy group and overall in the A-League Mets.
We will do. So taking a look at the overall rankings, the top scorer so far with 163 points in one. That is wild. Is Matty with his team Fall on the Rolly, a great team name as well. He had Nick Ansell and Jay O'Shea. So 46 points between two players. I think you always know that you're going to be in for a pretty good one. Gio Colley is an interesting one. 15 points coming through. So he's got a bit of a point of difference in that squad as well. So that's a very, very interesting one. We're 23rd in a league of 115. 15, I think, at last count. Of course, you can. We may still add to that number as time goes on. So we're in a decent spot for fantasy, but Lynn is top of the pile with 134 after the opening round with his team Triple Threat. He, like Bakura is suggesting, had Alex Paulson, who pulled in 16 points, Jason Guerrier, Zizou as well. So clearly a fantasy manager who is finally attuned to the thoughts and feelings of this week's podcast hosts.
Well, congratulations to Lynn. Congratulations to everyone. Make sure you join our fantasy league. The links are in the show notes. So make sure you join the league. Compete with us every week. Our revolving cast of football managers. Guys, weekend coming up. There's a big round of Isuzu Ute A-League as well as the Tillies in action. Brisbane are playing Sydney. Wellington are playing Perth. Western Sydney are playing Western United. Central Coast are playing MacArthur. Melbourne Victory are playing Newcastle, and Adelaide are playing Melbourne City. I want a quick fire tip from you guys. I did all right in the women's last week. Not so well in the men's. Let's see how we go this week. Lockie, Brisbane v Sydney.
I am going to say Brisbane. They get a Australia Cup final revenge.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Brisbane and Ross Aloisi, they believe.
Yeah, well, I've got to back Brisbane, don't I? I've got to back them. Wellington v Perth, Bakua.
Wellington v Perth. I'm going to go with Wellington because I've just hyped up all their players. So, I've got to stick with the advice.
Distance derby draw for me.
I don't mind that. I don't mind that shout. Let's go Perth. Why not? Give Manny Comito a bone. He's taken a beating today. But, yeah, can't wait for that distance derby. Western Sydney versus Western United. The Marco Rudan derby. Lockie Flanagan.
Oh, this should be a cracker. Western United, I was really impressed with them in round one.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Western United and some big performance from Lockie Wales, who's in our fantasy team. Let's hope so.
I'm back in that. Western United, Western Sydney were a little bit toothless last week. Hopefully, they can be a bit better. Central Coast versus MacArthur. Pakua, who are you taking?
I'm going to go with Central Coast Mariners. I think that's the easy pick in that one.
I reckon the two teams who've got AFC Cup commitments in midweek might be a little bit tired. They'll play out a draw.
Oh, I agree. I think that tie, the AFC Cup commitments will take its toll. Melbourne Victory versus Newcastle. Lockie, who are you taking?
Has to be Victory. First home game of the season. Riding the high of a big, big blue win. Try saying that three times fast. Has to be Victory.
I'm going to go with a draw in this game, but a high scoring one.
I'm going for the Victory. Can't go wrong. Adelaide versus Melbourne City, a massive game on Sunday. A mental health round as well, so make sure you tune in for that one. Pakua, who are you taking?
I'm going to go with Adelaide. I'm going to go with Adelaide on this one.
Adelaide United v Melbourne City at Cooper Stadium has to be Adelaide United. They've got the wood over them in this game at this venue.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. It's been 1,779 days since Melbourne City last won at Cooper Stadium. You've got to back Adelaide there. So absolutely. Carl Viet's Red Men, can't go wrong. That wraps up another episode of the A-League's Fantasy Show. We'll be back next Thursday night to go over everything in the world of fantasy after this weekend's round of Isuzu Ute A-League action, as well as looking ahead to the following week's action. You can also tune in on Monday for our weekly review show on the Isuzu Ute A-League with Keep Up's resident expert panel of David Wiener, Tom Smithies, and David Davutovic going over all the big talking points of the Isuzu Ute A-League season. To never miss an episode, remember to subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast from, and to stay up to date with everything A-League's related, head to aleagues.com.au, keepup.com.au, or download the A-League's app. Lockie, Pakua, thank you so much for joining. And as always, remember to enjoy the football.